Okay, today I want to discuss with you in Yonim relating to Chodesh Adar and a little bit about the Megillah. We have yet to finish, we have still finished up the Aleph Beis, we have letter Tav, one more letter to go. And I want to give a general shir on, just a general, in Yonim, the entire Aleph Beis, just some short ideas. But before we conclude the Aleph Beis, being that today is Rosh Chodesh Adar, Aleph Adar, I thought it was appropriate that we should discuss some things relating to Chodesh Adar. Everything that I'm telling you is coming from, well, most things that I'm going to tell you are coming from the Sefer Yisrael VeHazmanim by Rav David Rusov. Rav Rusov is a very big Talmud Chacham. He wrote a number of Svarim, and he put out the last couple of years a series on the Mo'adim and the Chadoshim, and he is a very, very good writer. And a very good malakate. And the combination of being a good writer and a malakate, he produced some fantastic volumes. And I try to go through a few chapters relating to Chodesh Adar and Purim, and see these are some of the things which are new to me, and I want to share with you. The first thing is, why is this month called Adar? Where does the word Adar come from? So it seems that it's a Babylonian word. All the months are Babylonian words. But Chazal would not have accepted this word unless it did have within it some religious meaning. And he presents, he has a collection of Mefarshim of where it comes from. So the first idea, Mr. Want, very quickly, his first idea is, it is a tree. The Gemara says, "Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Lozer, or King Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosi, Mishum Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Haroitze Sheyiskaimu Nechasav Yita Bohen." A person who wants that his assets shall be successful, he shall plant trees. Okay, it's Shenemar Adir Bamoroim Hashem. And the Gemara, what is an Adir Bamar? Adir means Hashem is exalted high and above. Adir means mighty. Bamarom, up high, is Hashem. Pasuk in Tehillim. So Rashi says the remez is that the word Eder is a tree. In the Erez, in the cedar family, there are 10 varieties of Arazim. And one of them is the Erez. Is the Erez variety. And when the pasuk says Adir Bamarom Hashem, so the remez is Adir Eder. If you plant Eder Bamarom, you will be exalted. So okay, there's a homiletic interpretation of what this Gemara means, but it's not that. The only point I want to bring out over here is that we have this idea that what Adar refers to a tree. And why am I bringing out this point? Because Purim, also we have a large collection of ideas why Purim is called Purim. The simplest, of course, is Al Kain Karu Layomim Ho'ele Purim Al Shem Apur. It's a pasuk in the Megillah. You don't need to apologize. But yet, the Mefarshim do apologize. And they give us other reasons. And they relate that Purim comes from the word Puri, a fruit. Fruit. Purim is fruit, means to be fruitful. Haman wanted to be Oiker, the fruit of the world, Hashem's fruit, which is Klal Yisrael. So the only observation I'm trying to make is that Chodesh Adar has a tree and a fruit. Every tree produces fruits. Cedar is not from the trees which produce fruits, but there's some type of remez in its Chodesh Adar, and the focus, the highlight of Chodesh Adar is Purim. Adar is the tree, Eder, and in the tree there is fruit. The fruit of the month is Purim. It's the pre of the Eder. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Another reason why it's called Chodesh Adar comes from the Lashon of Malbush. Aderes Eliyahu, the garment of Eliyahu. Esav is kuloi ka aderes seor. He's like a cloak of hair. We see the word aderes relates to a garment, and indeed Purim is all about garments. Mordechai yotze belavush malchus techeles fachu ve'ateres av gedola. The entire month relates to the malbush, to the clothing, the what represents of Mordechai. Another idea Ikamash and Apostle we learned not so long ago in Daniel. In Daniel we learned about the statue. The statue in many parts had the head, had the shoulders, had the chest and the legs, all different types of metal, different materials, gold, bronze, and copper, and cheres. And then it came along a massive stone and pulverized the statue. And the Pasuk says, Vahavu ki ur min idrei kayet. The statue in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar turned into, or means chaff, min edrei kayit, of the granary of the summer. So edrei means a silo where you store grain. And that would indicate that Chodesh Adar is, in Chodesh Adar lies spiritual storage facilities for the entire year. The Kedusha that we gain in Chodesh Adar, in the Yontif of Purim, is something that we put away in storage. It recharges our batteries, keeps us going throughout the entire year. A fourth interpretation for Adar is the word aid. The aid, yale min haaretz, a mist. It represents a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening that occurs on the Chodesh of Adar. So sach hakol, I have here for you four different interpretations of the word Adar. Eder, Adir Bamarom Hashem. Eder means a tree. Second interpretation, Aderes, it's a garment, a levush, it's a malbush. That's what Chodesh Adar is all about. Chodesh Baruch Hu, he hides himself. V'yanochi Aster, Aster Panai Bayom, Chodesh Baruch Hu, he hides himself in Chodesh in Miracle Purim. And we discover Hashem in hiding in the garments, all the costumes of Purim. The third interpretation is Idrei Kayit, Pasuk in Daniel, the granary of the summer, storage. Chodesh Adar is the storage facility of Ruchnis for the entire year. And the fourth interpretation is a spiritual awakening of Eid Yala Min Haaretz. Now Purim, for the same matter, also has different words. Purim is Hashem HaPur. Puriya also means a bed. Puri in the Gemara means the Mita. There's a lot of it. This is just Rosh HaParakim, but there's much Jewish to explain the reason, the Ikra miracle. What was the miracle of Purim? If you want to define the miracle, study the Megillah very, very carefully. Pinpoint a moment, a critical moment in the Megillah which changed everything. Now, I would never say this. The king could not sleep and he had the Sefer HaZichronos, but that didn't change everything. That didn't change the Gezerah. I would never know this. I would never even suggest this. But the Mefarshim, the Chidah, okay, none other than the Chidah, the Holy Chidah, Big Mekubal, he picks up on this and he says the Ikur part of the Megillah is the Haman Noifel Al Hamita. Haman fell on the bed, which Esther was resting, and at that exact moment, Achashverosh walks in and says, Hagam, lichboish, esamalka, imi babayis? You're having an affair with the queen in my own house? And he was enraged. Hamas Hamelach Ba'arabo, and he was sent out for execution. So the Chidah, I mean, it's not an obvious observation. He says this is the critical moment of the Megillah. Because if everything's said and done, fine. Esther revealed Dasan Vavirim, their plot. Mordechai told over the plot. But there was still a Gzera. And the Gzera was L'hashir L'har L'adis Kol Hayudim. This is what the public wanted. This is what the king wanted. And it's just a matter of who's going to do the dirty work. And even though Mordechai and Esther have been good and they did good things, the Gzera was not necessarily changed until the king's anger was aroused when this miracle happened. V'haman noifel al hamita. It's a small little point which doesn't seem to have any major like it's not like a medrash. This also happened to him, right? A lot of these midrashim, but it's recorded in the Megillah, and the Chidah says don't underestimate that moment, how that critical moment changed everything. It changed the king's attitude. He was able to see the big picture. He was able to annul the decree of Haman and allow the Jews to defend themselves, which led to Esther being elevated, Mordechai being elevated, and the Beis Hamidrash being rebuilt. The Haman Noifel Al Hamita. That is why he says the Megillah is called Mayam Purim, because Purim is Miloshon Puria, a bed. Besides the parsha on the pasuk of Alken Karlai Yomim Mo'ila Purim Al Shem Apur, but it's another approach Al Jush of what is the essence of Purim all about. And you can develop this more. You can also develop this in more ideas. Okay, okay. Now I want to discuss you something. This is something very interesting.
I'm asking you are so impatient with me. They're asking you answer. I'm asking you.
Okay, I'm
don't
sorry.
Let me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's not.
Yes, ask your question. Go ahead.
Finish later.
No. I'm sorry. You're right. Chatosi.
You know, I have four places to go. I was in college. They paid me $350 per month. I prefer to come here. I don't go. The Rosh Kollel called me. Please come. I need you. I didn't go.
Why? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. Chotasi. Chotasi. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. No. So please ask the question. I'm sorry.
We have an yeshiva in my country. We need to know more. They, all of them, Baruch Hashem, they educated. All of them, they know everything. I need more to learn.
So ask the question. So ask your question. Ask your question.
And since the core also should be and Harbonon that he told he has made the eggs and
okay.
Telu Allah. You should hang him on this. Right.
Also important. Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. There are many points in the Megillah which are very critical, and this point he emphasizes. Now let's discuss this next issue. Why is it? Okay, there was one of I think I opened the chumash for this. This is very interesting. And please remember, see, Rabbi Mayevsky, he left. I wanted to share this with him. I wanted to hear this. Is Adar in the Torah? There's another Adar. In the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael, yes. In Parshas Maaseh, we have the Gevul of. I have the pasuk. Already, I lost the pasuk. let me see if I can find it. I have all the Gevulos over here. Let's see. V'hoyu lechem haGevul. Oh, here it is. The Yotzah, if Hayu Toitza Oisav mi Negev leKodesh Barnea, it will extend out to the west. Sorry, to the Negev is to the south of Kodesh Barnea. The Yotzah, and it will extend to Chatzar Ador. So, L'Choyer, we have here the word Ador is one of the locations in Eretz Yisrael along the southern boundary of Kodesh Barnea. Is this the same word as Chodesh Ador? I just want to point this out. It's a very different word. Because Ador here spelled in this pasuk has a dot in the Dalet. And the Aleph has a regular patach. So how do you pronounce it? Ador. The Dalet we pronounce, we emphasize the Dalet because it's really, it's Ador. When there's a patach leading into a letter that has a dogesh, it's like a shvanach. But the Aleph gets a full pronunciation. You don't jip or rip off the Aleph. Ador. Ador. The way we pronounce Ador in the Megillah, the word Ador is mentioned numerous times. The Aleph is a chataf patach. It means a patach with two dots, vertical dots. A chataf patach means don't pronounce the Aleph, swallow it. Pronounce it very quickly. And the Dalet does not have a dot. Now, if you don't have a dot, how do you pronounce it without a dot? The. We don't make a differentiation. Today we discuss, let alone the dal. The real way to pronounce the dal is the. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? The Chazal tells us we're supposed to be marich the dalet. How can you be marich the dalet if you say Echad? How could you be marich? It's supposed to be like Kodesh Baruch Hu's melech and the dalet kind of as aretz. How can you possibly extend the dalet when you say chod? The answer is we don't pronounce the dalet the correct way. The real way to pronounce the dalet is dalet. There are two dalets. There's a vase and a base, a chof and a kof, a suf and a tof. There's a dalet and a dalet. So we don't pronounce it the correct way. It's echod. That's a fact. That's a fact. So here, in the pasuk, it's Chatzar Ador. How do you pronounce Chodesh? Chodesh Ador. Ador. The Aleph is swallowed. It's a Chat of Patach. And the Dalet does not have a Dogesh. So the real way to pronounce the month is Chodesh Ador. Ador. Like other, almost. Adar. Don't focus on the Aleph, focus on the Azar. And how do you pronounce, how, when you read this pasuk in the Torah? The Yotzah Chatzar Ador. The Aleph gets a full pronunciation and the Dalet gets a strong Dalet. Ador. But it's Chodesh Azar. So interesting to point out this difference between these two, the two Adars. The Adar of the Torah and the Adar of the Megillah. Okay, now let's go to this idea. This idea I found to be very interesting. Why is it that Hashem's name is not mentioned in the Megillah? The entire Megillah does not make any mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Why is that so? It's one of the Kitzei Tanakh. Chumash Megillah is part of the Chav Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. How could it be then that Hashem's name is not mentioned? Now, I was very intrigued that it's not the only one that we have Hashem's name. Exactly. We learned last week, Shir Hashem, that takes away some of the fun. It's always much more fun when you're the only one. If you're not the only one, you have misery loves company.
Exclusiveness.
You lose the exclusiveness. Exactly. Where the Alapay is, if you have something where it's the only letter that's missing, so then you can make a drasha. But if you have a part of the davening where it's not the only letter, there are other letters that are also missing, so then it's not so much fun. There are more things that are missing, that there are more letters that are also missing, so it takes away from the exclusivity of the drush. But okay, we have two Megillahs, there are two Kisvei Kodesh that do not have Hashem's name, and they are Shir HaShirim and Megillah Sester. But let's just focus, why is that in Megillah Sester we do not have Hashem's name? So the simple answer is, probably the most popular answer is that that's exactly the point of the Megillah. The Megillah is to find Hashem in hiding. The Anochi Haster Aster Panei B'Yamahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself. He hides himself, and the whole miracle of Purim was to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in hiding. Hashem is not in the open. Hashem is in hiding. We have to uncover Him by studying all of simple events, and all of these events happen to come together in this puzzle to bring out the Shekhinah. Okay, that is the simplest answer. But there are other answers. Another very simple answer is because this Megillah was meant to be included among the secular documents of Paras Umadai. Paras Umadai, they were given the Megillah for their records, and it's not proper that Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, will be entrusted to the Goyim in their libraries, in their secular courts, and their, who knows, in their pagan temples, to have Hashem's name desecrated. So therefore, Mordechai V'Esther, who composed Megillah Esther, chose deliberately to not write Hashem's name, in order that there should be no violation of Kedusha. Okay, another reason given, there's a fascinating reason, and this really ties into what we learned today in Ezra, is that the salvation that occurred at the time of Mordechai V'Esther was due by and large to the Klal Yisrael. They earned it. They earned the miracle of Purim. How do they earn the miracle of Purim? Because Lech Kenos Eskol HaYehudim V'Tzumu Olai Al Tochu V'Al Tishu Shloishas Yomim Laila V'Yom. The entire Klal Yisrael fasted for 3 days. They fasted over Pesach. They gave up the Yom Tov of Pesach. They fasted 3 days in a row in order to be mevakesh rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They earned it. That's why the gragor, you shake it from below, and the dreidel, you spin from on top. Everyone knows this far. The gragor, because the miracle of Chanukah was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem did the spinning. It was an Hashemayim. Purim, we did the spinning. The gragor, you shake, you spin from below, and the thing shakes on top. The control is below. Below represents this world. On top represents Shemayim. The dreidel, you spin from on top. Hashem is doing all the spinning. We didn't earn the miracle of Chanukah. Hashem gave it to us as a gift. The miracle of Purim we earned. Therefore, Mordechai V'Esther deliberately left out Hashem's name in the Megillah to indicate that it didn't, that the miracle was not from Hashem. Of course, Hashem brought about the miracle, but the one who earned the miracle was us. It was our doing. It was our success. It was an accomplishment for Klal Yisrael. We learned today in Ezra. Ezra complains, we don't deserve this. Everything that we have today is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are sinners. We have the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, and we're nichshol in intermarriage. We're sinners. We don't deserve it. But the Megillah, the miracle, we did deserve. Who says this? Pshat is Bilul Pshat. This is the Medrash Talpios. Medrash Talpios says that's why we don't have Hashem's name in the Megillah. It's in order to deflect credit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, to give credit to Klal Yisrael for what they have done, for Lech Kenelos is called Hayudim Hanimtsim Vishon Vitsimu Lav Yaltoch Vialtishtu Shloish Nashimim Laila V'yom. Okay, another reason why we don't have Hashem's name is given by Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz says that Haman made himself into an idol. On his clothing he had all different images, all different shemos. He had people worship him as if he was an idol itself. Therefore, being that his name appears in the Megillah over and over, his name appears in the Megillah, who knows, 20, 30 times. I don't know how many times they clap Haman. There must be some scientific... How many times?
I think 40-something.
40-something times. It's not proper that Hashem's name be together with the name of an idol. Being that his name is all over the place, it's not a kavak on the shkrochu to bring Hashem into a church. You don't bring in the Shem HaMeforish into a place that's filled with avodas kilulim. The Megillah has to mention Haman. Haman is the spitz of tumah, avodah zarah, and disgust. Therefore, it's not a covet for Hashem to be there with Haman in the same text, the same document. And that's Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. It says we do not, they deliberately left out the name Haman and Megillah.
We cannot say Hashem is going to do everything for us. The miracle was done by Hashem.
But it was only done by Hashem because...
Hashem is not, even a leaf from the trees falling down is Minashamayim.
But we were instrumental...
Hashem was not in us for this. We did miracle. Who are we? Us? No, nothing. Hashem is going to do everything for us.
But we were instrumental in bringing it about. Okay, let's,
yes, but... Hashem is going to...
Of course.
Strength.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Rav Shlomo Alkibitz. Everyone knows Rav Shlomo Alkibitz was the Mechaber of Lecha Doidi. He has another interpretation. This is another very interesting idea why Hashem's name is not mentioned. Because it's not... This is an ongoing battle. Amalek, the whole story of the Megillah is all about Amalek. Wiping out, obliterating Amalek. This is an ongoing battle. This is already the third time there is such an attempt to obliterate this nation. Once during the time of Yoshua, even Moshe Rabbeinu tried with Yoshua, and then Moshe and Yoshua, Shaul HaMelech, and now the third time we have Mordechai and Esther again trying to wipe out Amalek. And each time we did not succeed. There are always remnants, the pocket of Amalek still. It's not a covet for Hashem's name to be mentioned in a mission that we continuously fail to accomplish. The mitzvah is Timcha Zecher Amalek. There should be no remnant whatsoever. Moshe and Yoshua failed. There was still Amalek left over. They went to war against Amalek in Paris, B'Shalach. They survived. They weakened them. They weakened them to a very large degree, but there were pockets of resistance which remained. After time of Shaul left Agag. Agag remained alive, and from Agag came Haman. And even at the time of the miracle of Purim, there were survivors. There's Amalek living with us at Hayom Hazeh. Many say Nazi Germany are descendants of Amalek. So being that it's a mission that has not, we have failed three times, it's not a covet for Hashem, who is perfect and is complete and is shalem, to be associated with a mission that we have botched up and we have never been able to fully succeed. Now let's go to another idea why we don't have. It's another simple idea, it's a halakhic idea, is because the mitzvah to lay the Megillah is the entire day. You can lay the Megillah from and mitzvah and Purim. There's also a mitzvah. Levasume bipuraya ad lo yada ben orahav baruch morchai, is to get drunk. Now I'll talk about that maybe some other time. We don't actually fulfill that bisman hazeh. But since meikra din, a person is allowed to become intoxicated, and when a person is intoxicated, it's not their cheres. You're not allowed to daven, and you're not allowed to say Hashem's name. It's a zilzul for Hashem's name. So being that the mitzvah of the day, the mitzvah hayom is levasume bipudaya, is to become intoxicated, and people are going to be kind of the mitzvah throughout the day. It's not a covet for Hashem that Hashem's name should be mentioned when the Megillah is being read in front of people who are not in their right frame of mind, who are drunk. That's why they deliberately left out the name of Hashem in the Megillah. Okay, let's go to another idea. whole long collection of ideas of why we don't have Hashem's name. Number six, we do have Hashem's name. Rashi Tevis. Yavoi HaMelech V'Hamon Hayom. Rav Yaakov Emden, he counts an astronomical number of names of Hashem, all different types of names. Yudke Vavke, Eke, and Elokim, and Ka, and all these names we never heard of. He counts a whole long collection of names in Rashi Tevos throughout the Megillah, and he concludes, Ubevadai. There are so many references to Hashem's name in the Rashi Tevos, in the first letters of different words and expressions. Yira v'yifchat, v'yikre b'kavona atzuma. You should be terrified to learn the Megillah. Because every few words that you say, when you combine the first letters of those words, or the last letters of those words, you're really spelling Hashem's name. And you're spelling Hashem's name much more proportionally than you would do so anywhere else in Tanakh. So therefore, Hashem is there, all over the place. And Adrabah, you should be very careful when you say Hashem's name.
Okay. I am not accepting this, that the name Hashem be Al-Amelech, Al-Yobo, Al-Yom, Al-Amelech.
Another reason, every time it says Hamelech,
the name of Hashem be there.
Every time you say the word in the Megillah, sometimes Hashem's the Melech is a Melech Achashverosh, and sometimes it's Hamelech Stam. It's another word. Every time it says Hamelech Stam, every time it says Hamelech Stam, it refers to the Melech Malchi Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where it refers to it says Hamelech Achashverosh, then it's Melech Achashverosh. I'll give you a classic example. Most don't do this, but I know people who do this. This minhag sans. Balayla Hahu. At that night, Nodido Shnas HaMelech. Now, Shnas HaMelech, I'll tell you a good story to supplement this part. Nodido Shnas HaMelech, which means the Gemara Darshan, every time it says the word again in the Megillah, HaMelech, without Achashverosh, it alludes to the Melech Malchim Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically this Melech. Because here the Gemara Darshan is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaVyochu was asleep. Now we know Hashem Lo Yonum V'Lo Yishon Shomer Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu may believe he was asleep, he was not paying attention to our Tzara, because we sinned, we celebrate our own demise by participating in the Suda of Baal Shatzar. So, but at this point in time, when Klal Yisrael did Tshuva and they fasted for 3 days, Nodido Shinosoi Shel Malkoi Sheloilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's slumber was awakened. The sleep of the Melech Malchi Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, because Chazal, they pinpoint, they single out this mention of HaMelech, it was Minik Sans. Anyone here, Sans of Hasidim? Anyone here come from Sans of Hasidim? It was their Minik that when they would say, Balayla Hudadudu Ashnahas, they would sing that Melech the same way the Shliach Tzibur on Rosh Hashanah says, HaMelech. Right? That was how they would say the word. Now, I was a child. I the first time I heard someone do this, I thought he was making a joke. I'm sure you've been to Megillah readings where the whole thing is a big joke. Terrible thing. They make a joke out of the whole thing, and they sing all these funny songs, all different nigunim. So it was a joke. The whole thing was a big joke. And the shots, he got another shnas. He did. So I thought it was a joke, but it's not a joke. Now, this is the minhag of Sans. They did it very seriously in order to arouse people to kavana that another shnasa shol malkoy shalom is a reference to the ribayin shalom. And just like on Rosh Hashanah, they should. You think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point in time in the Megillah. Now, I'll tell you a funny story. There was once a place, I'm not going to tell you the name, there was once a very chashuv institution where they were learning a poem, and the Baal Kori, when he got halfway through the Megillah, he got to Balai Lahu, he conked out. He ran out of gas. So he motioned, I'm out of here. Someone's going to take over. And this is a very chashuv, a very serious, you know, real litvaks. Real kvetching. So they called over the backup. And now the minig is also that when you begin Balayla Hu, the Baal Kori is supposed to raise his voice. It's very hard. He's supposed to raise your voice. Mikan el haba. It's very hard to maintain a raised voice. Mikan el haba. So at least you raise your voice for this pasuk. You raise your voice. So this Baal Kori was called up on the spot. Within 10 seconds, they said, take over. The sky ran out of gas. Take over. So he gets up. He's all nervous. He's a professional, but he's all nervous. And he knows now you're supposed to raise your voice. So without thinking, Balaila hu nodidosh nahas. He sang Hamelech mamish like the Yomim Noroim, not realizing what he's doing, because he was just like stunned. He took over on the spot. And the Olam, what? What? Like, this is not a place you joke around. This place is a real kvetch, real litzax. No joking, you know. No cap guns and no games. What? Him? Hamelech? Farakay did it. Then someone told him, someone there was an old timer, Sanzachas says, ah, Baruch Hashem, Yitaki, this is Minik Sanz. So it turns out that the Baal Korei, his father was a big time Sanzachasit. So it's very funny. He did Niba v'lo yoda ma'ashe Niba. He did the Minog, not even realizing what the Minog is. But okay, that's another answer. Why are you Samach? Now, I want to give you another answer. This is a beautiful answer. This is my favorite. Came across yesterday. Another beautiful answer. Why you don't say why Hashem's name is not mentioned in the Megillah. This is a very deep answer. And just the Rosh HaProklam, after you can develop this probably much greater on your own. But we know that Purim is called Yom Kippur. We know that Purim relates to Yom HaKippurim. Kippurim. I mean, what's the ikur, what's the tafel? Well, we're not getting it, but we know that on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol goes lefnim, it's Kippurim. There are similarities. They change the clothing 5 times. The Kohen Gadol change from the Bigdei Lavan to the Bigdei Shemona 5 times. It's all about clothing. And on Yom Kippur, there's no eating. And Purim is Mishnah V'Simcha. Right, there's the Goyrolois, there's the Sur La Hashem, Sur La Zazil, and Purim is the Goyrol. There are many, I'm sure you've all heard, many drushes about the similarity between Purim and Yom HaKippurim. There's something else very interesting. On Purim, Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol, every time he says Hashem's name, he says it the Shem HaMefoyrash in the Avodah. When we recite Hashem's name throughout davening, loik hishani nikra ani nichtav, we read it spelled in the pasuk yud kei vav kei. How do we pronounce it? Aleph dalid nun yud adnos, and we pronounce it aleph dalid nun yud ado nun yud, but it's spelled yud kei vav kei. Why? Ze shmi li olam veze zichri li dar v'dar. This is the way my name is spelled. This is the way my name is pronounced. Because the name is so sacred, we are not royin this generation, in our lifetimes, to pronounce Hashem's way the way the name Hashem is spelled. There was one exception on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would say Hashem's name every time he said Hashem's name. He said it with Shem HaMefoyrash. Why? Because the sanctity of the day is so great, it demands that we recite Hashem's name the way it is spelled. Now we come to Purim. Purim is equal to Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, if Hashem's name was in the Megillah, if Hashem's name was in the Megillah Yud Kei Vav Kei, we would be required to say Hashem's name the way it's spelled. Just like on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol said Hashem's name the way it was spelled, not the way it's pronounced. Problem though is, even though Yom Kippur is mamish, like Yom Purim, it's like Yom HaKippurim, we're not really ready for that. On the one hand, it's equal, the sanctity is the same. Purim, Yom HaKippurim. If we, the Kohen Gadol said the Shem HaMefoyrash on Yom HaKippurim, Kol Shekein, we should be required in the Avodah of the day, which is the Megillah, to say Hashem's name the way it is pronounced. But we're not ready for that. Are we really ready for that? Are we really holding where we're supposed to be holding? So we're in a catch-22. We're in a no-win situation. We're in a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, we have to say Hashem's name. But on the other hand, we have to say Hashem's name the way it's pronounced. The way it's spelled, not the way it's pronounced. Like Yom Kippur, like the Kohen Gadol. But we're not really willing to take that leap. We're not holding where we should be holding. But we should be holding there. So why are we holding there? Therefore, our Chazal cleverly avoided the issue by not writing Hashem's name in the Megillah at all. So that's amazing. It's amazing mahalach. The reason, what? This is said by the Ginzei. It's called Beis Ginzei. It's a very old sefer from one of the big. I don't remember the name of the person. I have to go look. Beis Ginzei from the very old. He doesn't know how to say it. I'm really a little shy, a little bit more. But the yisodos come from people the Beis Ginzei. So sach hakol. I think we'll begin over here. Nine reasons. And then I'll tell you one more thing. I'll end up with that. Nine reasons why Hashem's name. Should we do the reasons? Nine reasons why Hashem's name is not mentioned in the Megillah. Simply, Hashem wants us to find Him. Find me. I'm not here in the open. Number two, it's meant to be part of the secular documents. Can't have Hashem's name in secular documents. Number three, Haman is Avodah Zarah. It's disgusting. You don't want his name to mention. Number four, you're going to have Hashem. You're going to land the entire people drunk. It's not a cover to lay the Megillah in front of people that are drunk the whole day. Number five, Hashem's name is really there. It says all the Rashi Tevos. Yavoy Hamelech v'Haman Hayoyim. Every time, every few words, you have another remnant of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Number six, every time it's HaMelech, that really is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Number seven is that it's like Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, just like on Yom Kippur, you can't say Hashem's name, so you can't say Hashem's name, on Purim, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, because it's not a kafir for Klal Yisrael, because you're an Hashem, because this is already the third time a war waged against Amalek resulted in it was incomplete, so we don't want to mention. And number nine, which is really beautiful vart from the Medrash Talpios, is it's the zechus of Klal Yisrael. We want to downplay HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give more credit to Klal Yisrael, so Badavka we leave out HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remind us that it was only in our zechus that we umayis nefesh to fast for 3 days. Okay, now let me just leave with one last var. This var totally shattered everything I was taught as a child. I always learned as a child that the miracle of Purim stands in contrast to the miracle of Pesach. Pesach, we're always samech gula gula Adar. Right now we're entering in Adar. What's Adar? Two chadashim of gula. Adar is gula and Pesach is gula. Right? Samech, that's why there are two Adars. We celebrate Purim in the second Adar. We're samech gula ligula. We're coming now into a tkuf of a double dosage of gula. So here's I always was taught, is that the miracle of Purim stands in direct opposite to Pesach. Pesach is a nes, l'mala miderech hateva. Like Hanukkah, l'mala miderech hateva. Miracles, oil lasting 8 days, kriyas yamsa, makas v'choros, tenakos. Purim, nisim nistarim, hidden miracles. You can't go put your finger on any miracle. This event happened this time, and that time, all these seemingly isolated events all come together in this very sophisticated puzzle, and we have a miracle of a salvation. The B'nai Yisoschar says it's not the pshat. It's not the pshat. You can't say the miracle of Purim is a neis nistar. It's too much of a miracle. Too many things came together at exactly the same, at the right time, in the right place, that you can call this a neis nistar. You know what a neis nistar is? It's a powerful vart, incredible insight what he says. You know what I mean? Today, the fact that we are surviving, we're still here today, that's a real neis nistar. The survival of Klal Yisrael and Galus, and there's no glitter, and we don't even know about it. We don't even realize all of the miracles that are happening behind the scenes in order to guarantee our survival b'zman hazeh. Before the Bayis Sheni, before the Churban Bayis Rishon, we were Zocha Tinisim Giluyim, open miracles. Here's the point. You know what miracle of Hanukkah, a miracle of Purim is? The miracle of Purim is the transition. It's the middle point between a tkufa of Nisim Giluyim and Nisim Nistarim. In the tkufa of the Bayis Rishon, we were Zocha Tinisim Giluyim. It was a life of Pesach. Nisim Giluyim. Then, during the Tkuf of the Bayesheni began the Tkuf of Nisim, the real Nisim Nistarim. The survival of Klal Yisrael through the Bayesheni, through Golus, we don't even know about. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Purim is the transition point between Nisim Giluyim and Nisim Nistarim. Purim has elements of both. On the one hand, it's Nistar. You can't put your finger on it. There's nothing. No fire came out of heaven. There was no Kriyas Yamsuf. But you can't say it's purely Nistar. The events that have happened are too sophisticated to say that it's completely Nistar. There is some degree of intervention. It's the transition. That's Purim. All transitions in life are always the greatest moments, all very significant. A person gets married. It's a transition point. Transition between being a bachur and being married. They're all different matters. Doimim, tzmechai, medaber. There are different transitions in life. Transition is always a great, great moment in time. And that is what the Yom Tov Purim is. It is the transition between Giluyim and Nistarim. Purim has elements of both. Okay, well, that will stop. Have a wonderful day.